chapter 17. Matthew in the Hebrew. But many individuals who come from a Christian background, they try to interpret the scripture from the lens of the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah. And when you're reading through the Brit Hadashah and you begin in the book of Matthew, you're trying to read through a lens that does not even exist. Because Matthew is being lived out, the good news. And that's why you have to look at the foundation of the Tanakh to understand where Yeshua truly was coming from. Because when he says that he quoted the scriptures, he was not quoting from Matthew through Revelation. But he was quoting through what? Genesis? Through Malachi. Those were the scriptures. And as I went to Bible college, this is one thing that they taught me in Bible college, that Yeshua quoted one book more than any other, and that was the book of Deuteronomy. So to fully understand the Brit Hadashah, you should have the book of Deuteronomy open and the full Tanakh to get a full understanding. Amen? Amen. So Father, now as we turn to your word, may your anointing go forth that is on your word. Not on the person who's standing before the people this day and speaking, but it's on your word which is eternal. And it is the scriptures that lead us into all truth. May your truth be made yet afresh in our hearts. May both the meat and the milk flow of the word of God to fulfill all that God desires in our lives, that we become to the full maturity of who we are to be in Messiah Yeshua. We pray and ask. Amen. Today's message is entitled, Yeshua Paid the Half Shekel for the Redemption and the Atonement. And for some of you, that's something brand new, is it not? But it is here in the scripture. And we'll be getting into that. This message is a two-part message, okay? Today, I'll be giving the shorter part. So let us begin. Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 22. Matthew in the Hebrew. As they were going about together in Galil, which is Galilee, Yeshua said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of the people, who will put him to death. And on the third day he will be raised." What have we heard today in the Torah portion? But reference to Yeshua dying and raising from the dead. And what have we heard through in our worship time? The significance of the holiness of God, and it's through the blood of the Lamb we enter the Holy of Holies. Now let us turn to the Gospel of Mark. This is what I like to do from time to time, is to give insights of all four good news writers. This is not recorded in the book of John, okay? So now we'll go to the book of Mark, the good news of Mark, chapter 9, verse 30. Mark 9:30. And after leaving that place, they went on to Galil, which is Galilee, the region. And Yeshua didn't want anyone to know. See, by the power and the anointing and the instruction of the Ruach, Matthew did not mention that they did not want the people, the general populace, to know. This was only news for the Talmudim because they were the only ones to have the veil gradually to be removed from their eyes. Continue in verse 31. Because he was teaching his Talmudim, his close inner disciples, and he told them, "The Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of men who will put him to death, but after he has been killed, 3 days later, he will rise." It goes on to say, but they didn't understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him. See, Matthew did not share that, but Mark, who was not one of the original 12, he got that on a first-person information because the Ruach was there encouraging Yeshua what to share as he fulfilled the will of Abba, Father God. Now let us turn to Luke. And was Luke one of the original 12? Absolutely not. Luke chapter 9, verse 43 and 45. Luke chapter 9, 43 and 45. To interpret Scripture, how do you do it? Scripture upon Scripture, so you'll fully understand it in its context. There are many Bible teachers and preachers that will teach the Word of God, and they'll grab Scripture over here, and they will just set it aside, and they'll build a whole teaching upon it. What we're to do as the Bereans, search the Scriptures, so that the person who's teaching or preaching, so that we may test what is said. So here we are in Luke chapter 9, 43 and 45. All were struck with amazement at the greatness of Abba, Father God. While they were all marveling at everything Yeshua was doing, he said to his Talmudim. Now you may be thinking, well, what are they so amazed by? If you remember, we're going step by step. Yeshua had recently delivered a young man from a control of a demon that was causing him what? To throw himself in the fire and into water. And this person was part the president of a local synagogue, okay? And so with that, the Torah teachers, okay, they could not deliver this one young man. And what they were doing is they were just going, wagging their fingers at the Talmudim that were there. Not the ones that were there with Yeshua up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Because they had witnessed that they had the power and the authority to cast out demons, okay? So here Yeshua, he comes back. And he inquires of the Father how long this has been happening. And those of you who have been here for the other messages I shared, this is a correlation. This is why the people are just amazed. And that's including the Torah teachers. Because Yeshua simply goes over and he speaks the word. And that demonic spirit, with a shriek, leaves that boy. And he comes to a sound mind yet again. And so that's what they're amazed at this time, okay? So then Yeshua said to his Talmudim, listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. You know, there are times, you know, when you honor an event as a child or even as an adult, where you're caught up, you're at a conference, and you're so caught up with the fellowship with one another. There are times when the speaker that's speaking says, now don't think about the Minnesota Vikings. Don't think about the Twins. But now focus now on the Word of God, okay? Because he had to bring them out of what? They were astonished. They were amazed, okay? And so he called his 12 aside and he said, now listen to what I have to say. It's very, very important. Because this is the second time in Scripture that he revealed to them that he was going to die and raise from the dead. Now, with their interpretation of what Scripture was, he was the Mashiach, is he not? Has he not raised the dead? Has he not healed the leopards? Has he not cast out demons? Now you're telling me that you're going to die? And you're going to be turned over to the people? Which of these people would dare come near you? But what he's trying to do is get them out of their thinking, out of their interpretation, to fully understand what is going to take place in the near future. Because Yeshua is going to be launching these 12, okay? Just as Martin, it's very, very timely that Martin shared that scripture today out of Matthew, where he said the barukah, the blessing over them, and then he ascended. He left them, and it says in the scripture that they were exceedingly joyful, and they were rejoicing. And you know where they went next? Martin didn't share that last scripture verse there, and that's fine. But it says that they went to the temple and they praise and they worship Abba, Father, God. Okay? So just like at any time when someone gets the news that someone has a cancer or some other disease, it comes as a shock, right? And sometimes people are so overcome with the shock, they stop listening. Okay? Because he's trying to let them know this is going to happen. This is the reason why I have come, to die on your behalf. but do not be afraid. In 3 days I shall rise up again. So I had to lay that very succinctly here so we can continue. Listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. The Son of Man. He did not say the Son of God. He said the Son of Man. What is that? That's a messianic term of the Mashiach that the Jewish people would recognize through what? Through the writings of the prophecies in the Tanakh. Undeniable. He's saying, I am the Son of Man. The promised Mashiach is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. Verse 45. But they didn't understand what he meant by this. It had been concealed from them so that they would not grasp its meaning. Okay? Because remember this, the Spirit of the living God is allowing them to understand what they need to understand moment by moment. But Yeshua is now stretching them and saying this, file this away. You don't see it now, but we've been walking together for 2.5 years. My ministry is coming to an end. So file this away so that you know, just like all these prophetic prophecies in the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah that have not come to pass. We're to what? We're to file them away so that when we see the day and the hour of that prophecy's fulfillments, we know where we are in God's plan for redemption for all mankind. Think of 1948, right? Yeah. Israel was birthed, right? Amen. Think of 1967, what happened then? The Six-Day War and the restoration of the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, in Jewish hands. What's yet in the prophetic calendar? The third temple to be established. And I've been sharing this for the last 20 years about the restoration of the third temple. It has to come about, otherwise the abomination of desolation cannot be revealed. And Yeshua cannot come back until there's a third temple established. And the Levitical priesthood is started up again. The sacrifices of animals has started again. And you know what's going to happen? The Reformed and the conservative Jews and every Jew that you want to put a blank underneath their name, agnostic, atheist, Hindu, they will become biblical Jews. They will turn back to the sacrifice because they'll say, now we can fulfill God's calling upon our lives through this temple sacrifice. Some people have asked me this many, many times. So what are Messianic Jews supposed to do? Are we to participate in the sacrifice? Absolutely not. Why? Because the book of Hebrews, Messianic Jews, tells us. That book is a prophetic book for Messianic believers, both Jews and Gentiles, once the third temple is reestablished. Because we have what? A greater high priest. Even today, what is happening in Israel, there are men with the last name Lev or Cohen, the Kohenim, they're now practicing. There's a literal tabernacle in the wilderness. They have all the elements of the Mishkan. And I won't go into all those details this time. And they're preparing for that, for the reestablishment of the third temple. Because what does this say? That for 3 years, 3.5 years, the Antichrist will enter into a covenant with Israel, right? And then what will happen? He will then have his beast, that false idol, be placed where? In the third temple. And then the veil shall be removed from the Jewish people's eyes, and they will flee from his presence. If you want to understand Hanukkah, and the book of Maccabees, that's a historical book, and that will be fulfilled. So study prophecy and understand it. So let us continue here. But they did not understand what he meant by this. It had been concealed from them so that they would not grasp its meaning. And they were afraid to ask him about it. So now we go into the message. History reminds and records us that Benjamin Franklin wrote in 1789, "But in this world, nothing can be said to be certain, but what? Death and taxes." Yeshua now is dealing with his death. Later in this portion of scripture that I've left off is where he deals with taxes. That's the second part of the message of this. These are but two of the realities that everyone faces. We may think that Yeshua, the greatest person who has ever lived, might be able to escape this, but the scriptures record the truth. So can we now gain wisdom from Yeshua how to deal with these realities? Can we not imitate him by following his conduct on how he dealt with these realities in his own life? As Matthew records, Yeshua had just gotten back with his 12 Talmudim after the three of them had seen the Shekinah glory on the Mount of Transfiguration experience on the mountain. Now they were regrouping after the deliverance of the demon from the boy. So now Yeshua reminds them that the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, but he will be raised on the third day. And we are told that the Talmudim were deeply saddened. Why? Because they believed this, that very soon Yeshua was going to go into Jerusalem and to acknowledge himself as the reigning descendant of King David. And the millennial reign of Messiah would start from that point. And that these 12s would be leaders throughout the nation of Israel. That's what they were hoping for. That's what they were believing. But the timing was off. Their timing was. So going on. This now is the second time, the second of third times in the good news of Matthew, when the Talmudim disciples were being told of the coming alarm of events for Yeshua. It was not that long ago that Kepha, Peter, declared that Yeshua was the Mashiach, the Messiah, the son of Abba, Father God, the living God, and Yeshua had broken this bad news now to the Talmudim. It has been Yeshua's goal in the first two and a half years of his ministry had been to convince them that he was truly the Mashiach, the Messiah, the son of Abba, Father God. That means that he's a literal representative of Abba, Father God, living before them in human flesh. Once he had then established and confirmed by Kepha Peter's great testimony, Yeshua now had to prepare them for the unexpected. They weren't expecting him to die. The second half of the good news of Matthew is that the God-man, the Son of Man, would die on the execution stake, the tree, for their sins and be raised up on the third day. This was a prophecy yet to be birthed before their very eyes. But there was a problem. The problem is that the Talmudim expect Yeshua as Mashiach would be exempt from death. They shared this contemporary Jewish expectation that the Mashiach, the Messiah, would live and rule forever, and he would deliver Israel from all its enemies. They were expecting that Yeshua would lead them and Israel into the golden messianic age in accordance with their understanding of all the prophecies in the Tanakh. Okay, they had read the other prophecies, but they hadn't taken it to heart. They hadn't meditated upon it. And that's why there are endless prophecies in the Tanakh that we as believers living today, we haven't taken to heart. Why? Because we haven't seen them fulfilled in our presence, but they're yet to come. The problem was that they and their Torah teachers had missed the other incredible, important teachings of the Tanakh, that Mashiach would also have to die for the sins of the nation of Israel and all the human race. And then that he, Mashiach, Messiah, would also be raised from the dead. They did not know how to reconcile the prophecies. And there are some portions of scripture in my mind and heart, I don't know how to reconcile them. So I'm in the same place where they are. The Spirit of the living God hasn't given me the full revelation yet. Why? Because he doesn't want me to receive it until the appointed time. The prophecies of Daniel 9:26 that says in verse 26, "Then after 62 weeks, Mashiach, Messiah, will be cut off and have nothing. Wait a second. That has to be a misprint. But it's the truth. You see, these were some of the scriptures they couldn't reconcile to their hearts. And what about Yeshayahu, which is Isaiah 52 and 53? And I won't go through that whole portion because we do not have time today. Read it on your own. And with the many prophecies that the Mashiach would live and rule forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It seems like a contradiction here, but it's not. Then the Talmudim were convinced that Yeshua is the Mashiach, the Messiah, the son of Abba, Father God. Yeshua began preparing them for this shock of his upcoming death. That he too, even though they saw him raise many people from the dead and heal the sick, walk on water. Are you kidding me? What human being is even going to come near him, right? So Yeshua now took the opportunity to correct their mistaken assumption that he would not die. Have you ever had assumptions that were mistaken by the scripture? And it's only through the reading upon the reading and meditating on the scripture and by the Spirit of the living God removing the veil from your eyes and opening up your ears so you can hear yet one again. Because what happens, what we do many times, we read the scripture by rote. I've been guilty of that many, many times. We simply read, well, I don't even need to I know the gist of that gospel message. I don't need to reread that. Are you kidding me? I learned that as a young believer. That's where pride comes in. We need to humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord and allow the Spirit of the living God to reveal the prophecies and the truth in its fullness. Continuing. They had just been convinced by 2.5 years of the incredible experiences with Yeshua that he was the son of Abba, Father God, the son of man, the God-man, walking before them. So imagine what it would look like for a man who was a Mashiach to suddenly and unexpectedly be overtaken by his enemies, to be beaten and falsely accused, then to be executed upon a tree. Complete lunacy, right? Does he not walk in the power and authority of Abba, Father God? But they didn't fully understand. Where he would look like any other mortal man. Remember those that were jeering him when he was upon the execution stake? He said he could save others. He can't even save himself. Let's continue here. His Talmudim needed to know that Yeshua, as God in the flesh, knew he was going to die and just how and why it was going to happen. They also had to know that he had not only knew that he was going to die, but that he and his Father had determined this. They had predetermined it, that he would die. Why? Because God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. Right? The Father is, and so is the Son. For this to happen, Yeshua, without his knowledge and his expression of that knowledge, would be proof that he was not God and equal to the Father. After all, death is no small thing in anyone's life, even the Son of Man, the Son of God. Second, God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. And if Yeshua was God, then he would have power to overcome all his enemies who would want to kill him, right? Logically. Unless, of course, for some odd reason, he had determined that it was necessary for his enemies to overcome and kill him. And this is true. Yeshua, as God, along with his heavenly Abba Father, had both the foreknown and predetermined that Yeshua would die for the sins of all mankind, and that Yeshua would pay the penalty for our sins when he suffered on the execution stake. That was all prophesied. Before the foundation of the earth, he was the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. This Yeshua had to make clear to his Talmudim in advance so that there would be no cause for doubting Yeshua's deity. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Echad meaning what? Dual, plural. Continuing, Yeshua's sovereignty over all the affairs, Yeshua's omnipotence and his omniscience, once it had happened. Kepha Peter would later put in his very first sermon on the day of Shavuot, which is Pentecost, that Yeshua had been delivered by a predetermined plan and a foreknowledge of Abba, Father, God. That's recorded in Acts 2:23. The third reason is that it was necessary for them to know that this bad news, right? Just think about that. They were telling everyone, this is a promised Messiah. They're going to kick the Romans out. And he's going to reestablish the reign of King David. All right? That was in their hearts. That this bad news would become the good news that they would be sharing throughout the whole world. It would not be the bad news, but the good news that Yeshua died for our sins and he rose again to life. Did he not proclaim to them in the book of Matthew, I give to you, you perverse generation, no other sign but the sign of whom? Jonah, who was in the beast of the sea for 3 days. And then he came back to life. Now, having been convinced of Yeshua's identity, that he is God in the flesh, who he is would give the effect to what he did. So going forward, everything now they paid even more attention to. Not only as the only begotten Son of Abba, Father, God, the Son of Man, could his death actually pay the penalty for the sins of the people. So the Talmudim disciples needed to be convinced of the person and the work of Yeshua, who he is and what he does for us. It's no different for us today. Do we really believe what he's told us, or do we not? Because it would be the core of the message that they would live and die for in years to come. Is this your core message? Is this the reason for your life and one day for your death? Are you willing to allow that to be the testimony upon your lips that your Messiah died on the execution stake, but after 3 days he was raised to new life? So it is important for Talmudim to be brought face to face with this reality of death. Remember Benjamin Franklin? Death and taxes. There are what two individuals recorded in Scripture who have never tasted death, and they are who? Enoch and Eliyahu, Elisha. And the Scripture says that all will die and then the judgment. So who are the two witnesses that are going to be coming back in Jerusalem in the latter days who will be proclaiming the word of God with signs and wonders and power? It says for a time that they will speak and they will have the power and authority to stop the rain. Some say Elijah, some say Moses, but I would like to entertain Enoch because Moshe died. And so with it, it's, the Scripture says this, it's recorded in Revelation, that after a period of time, then they will be allowed to be slain. And they will lay what? Dead for a period of time. And you know what's amazing? It says the whole world shall see that they're dead, and they will rejoice. They will give gifts to one another. Because those that were tormented by these prophets of God are dead. And so the whole world, up to a point, will rejoice. And they will not bury the bodies. And they will have cameras upon them 24/7. Whatever time prior to now could this ever be fulfilled? For the whole world to see this. And then the whole world to see, all right? The resurrection of these two prophets who ascend up into heaven. The resurrection, the power of the Spirit of the living God through Yeshua. Continuing. So they had to be absolutely convinced that Yeshua is the Mashiach, the Son of Abba, Father, God, the living God, at his resurrection was yet to come. All right? Because remember that? They put it on the back burner. They put it back in the file. Okay, he said he was going to die, he was going to raise. But, I mean, we're on our way to Jerusalem here. Pesach's coming in the near future. And, you know, let's focus on the good things. Let's see another healing. Let's see another raising from the dead. Let's see all this. Isn't it wonderful that the power of God is being manifested through us? You know what's interesting? Our next portion, that I won't be getting in the next message, but the next one after that. You know what happens after Yeshua and some of the good news? They get in an argument with one another saying, who's the greatest? All right? And I just share that with you so you'll dig a little bit deeper in the scripture. Continuing. It is important that we face the unpleasant realities of life as soon as possible. We will all one day will die. It's recorded in Messianic Jews, Hebrews 9, 27, 28. Just as the human beings have to die once, but after this, the judgment, verse 28, so also Yeshua Messiah, having been once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to deliver those who are eagerly waiting for him. Are you eagerly waiting for him? The redemption of your souls? I am. Now because it is our mortality. This is commentary now. With our sinfulness and its other consequences that lead us to consider what happens after death. Okay? There is only one solution for this, and that is putting our trust only, not in Torah, not in Torah observance, but putting our trust in Yeshua, who has fulfilled Torah. Amen? So are you putting your trust in your Torah observance, or are you putting your trust in Yeshua? Romans 8:28, coming to a conclusion here. Verse 28, furthermore, who's speaking here? Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul. Furthermore, we know that Abba, Father God, causes everything to work together for the good of those who love Abba, Father God, and are called according to his purpose, right? Do you believe that? Any trial and tribulation, the Lord, Abba, Father, allows it in our lives to perfect us. Continuing, Abba, Father God uses the death of the Son of Man to redeem all mankind. Romans 8:29 goes on to say, because those whom Abba, Father God knew in advance, he, Abba, Father God, also determined in advance, would be conformed to the pattern of his son Yeshua, so that he, Yeshua, might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters from the resurrection. So Abba, Father God, his good for us is not first for our comfort. You got to hear that one more time. So Abba, Father God's good for us is not at first for our comfort. Well, Lord, that irritates me. Can't you do it another way? But our conformity. Did you hear that? But our conformity into an image and likeness and the character of his son. We become more like Messiah, Mashiach, even though the bad things that happen to us. For Abba, Father God, determines. Oh, there's a nice trial for Frank. He needs to walk through that. It's going to bring him low. It's going to humble him. He might get upset with me, but Frank needs that trial. Otherwise, Frank's going to remain the old Frank. And I don't like the old Frank. Abba Father doesn't like it. I don't. You don't like the old Frank. Frank needs to be conformed in the image and likeness and character of Messiah Yeshua. So God, Abba Father, God determines that they will always and always work out for our good, right? That we will be able to walk in the unity of the faith with one another. Amen? Just as Abba, Father God did with the death of his son, Yeshua, the Son of Man, for our sins. The same request that Abba, Father gave to our grandfather, Abraham. Remember? He said, take your son, your only son, and offer it upon the altar. All of us who have been grafted in to the Father of faith through Abraham. What does the scripture say? The just, the righteous shall live by what? Trust or faith. And we know the rest of the story. as our grandfather was ready to raise the knife and plunge it into his son, which would be another grandfather of us, both in the spirit and the flesh. For those who have Jewish ancestry, it's of the flesh. Those of the spirit, you're co-equals. You are both sons and daughters in Abraham. There's no distinction between male or female, Jew or Greek, slave or free. We're all one in Messiah. So he stayed his hand because of that trust. And so now, thousands of years later, here is Abba Father God bringing his son upon that same mount. And his son is willingly allowing himself to be sacrificed on our behalf. Okay? Continuing. Therefore, we now can fulfill 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And it tells us what to do. In everything, give thanks. For this is what Abba Father God wants from you, who are united in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Let us arise for the Aaronic blessing. Blessed be the name of the Lord.